gentlemen. I'm Ronnie Allen, and I'm going to find out who wanted to buy that diamond ring, if anybody. Because I have the gentleman who asked that question on the phone right now. And his name is Gary Lewis. Gary! Gary just blew me away. is this the Gary Lewis?
Yes, it is. But, you know, if it isn't, I've been having a lot of fun with his wife.
I have to ask you one question now. I know if I see something in Wikipedia, it has to be true, right? So I saw something in Wikipedia that says that your mom reportedly intended to name you after her favorite actor, Cary Grant, but the birth certificate recorded your name as Gary instead. Is that true?
No, that's not true. My name was Cary for the first 2 years of my life, until my dad decided that that was stupid, and let's call him something that I like. And so my dad changed it to Gary.
Okay. So much for Wikipedia, or Wikipedia, as I sometimes call it.
Yeah, no, that was, but it was for Cary Grant, and it was for 2 years, and then it was actually legally changed in court.
Your career started, for all intents and purposes, I guess, when you received a set of drums as a birthday gift, and I guess you were a young teenager then, or maybe a middle-aged teenager.
Yes, I got that when I was 14 years old, but I had already been playing drums since I was 5 years old. So when I was 14, that was the first set of my very own drums. My dad always had drums set up around the house and always had drummer friends coming over, showing me how to do certain riffs and all that stuff. But, when I was 14, I got my own set.
I understand at some point you auditioned for a job at Disneyland, and you didn't tell the employees of Disneyland about your celebrity father. Is that correct?
Yes, that's true, because when we auditioned at Disneyland, that was the very beginning of our career as a band, and I didn't use my last name. We were just known then as Gary and the Playboys. There was no Lewis to be out there to have anybody ask any questions. That's true.
And you got a very good response every night.
Yeah, we did. We got the job for June, July, and August of 1964, and we played six nights a week.
I understand that your dad's conductor, Lou Brown, was responsible for getting you a meeting with Snuff Garrett.
That's correct. And so we were rehearsing over at Paramount Studios on one of the sound stages. And Snuffy Garrett and Leon Russell both came in, and they just sat over in a corner just listening. They didn't even introduce themselves or anything. They just sat over in the corner and listened to what we were doing. And the following day, Snuffy called my mom and said, yeah, I'd like to talk to them about doing some recording. That's how that happened.
Pretty soon, they brought to you a piece of material called This Diamond Ring.
And yes.
That was co-written by Al Cooper.
That's correct. Al Cooper with two other guys.
Somebody named Sammy Ambrose also did a version of that song.
Well, that's the demo that Snuffy Garrett played for me. He said it was a demo. When he first suggested This Diamond Ring as a single for me, it was the Sammy Ambrose version of it. It was much slower, kind of sounded like more of a bluesy song.
We're going to listen just to a few bars. Sammy Ambrose.
Who wants to buy this diamond ring? She took it off her finger now. It doesn't mean a thing. This diamond ring, it doesn't shine for me anymore. And this diamond ring doesn't mean what it meant before. So if you've got someone whose love is true, let it shine for you.
You know, Snuff could hear beyond all that stuff. That was the great thing about him. And he heard it the way we did it, and it turned out the way it did. That's why producers make the big bucks. They can see ahead. They figure out what you can sound like, and they make it so.
Let it shine for you. coming true. And then your heart won't have to break like mine did. If there's love behind this diamond ring, doesn't shine for me anymore. And this diamond ring doesn't mean what it meant before. So if you've got someone whose love is true, let it shine for you.
A number one hit recording. Gary, I asked you at the outset of the show, I don't know if we ever answered this question, but did anybody want to buy this diamond ring?
As a matter of fact, people have told me over the years, you know, my wife and I got married because of that song. And, you know, the song was actually a song of splitting up. You know, it wasn't a song about getting together. So I always wondered, are you people actually listening to the words?
Probably not.
Yeah, right. You know, who wants to buy this diamond ring? She took it off her finger, now it doesn't mean a thing.
Right.
You know.
Well, sometimes people's attention spans are not always there, but...
Well, you know, I don't bring that up to them. I just say, oh, well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Because I'm such a nice guy.
Don't ever talk to me again. Absolutely. It was a number one record. When you recorded the song, in the back of your mind, did you say to yourself, this sounds so great, this may go to the top 10, this may go to the top 5, this may make number one?
No, I was 19 years old. I had no idea about the recording industry. I had no idea how things worked. I didn't know if it was a good enough song. I had no idea about anything, you know, because Snuffy Garrett says, you let me have complete control of picking the songs, when to put them out, and we'll be just fine. So I put everything in his hands, and why not? I was 19. I didn't know anything about the recording business, and he had been in it for a long time already, and he had no failures. Everybody that he produced all had hits. And so I figured, yeah, I'm in pretty good hands. But I had no idea that it was going to be that big of a song. No, I didn't.
Who were the original members of the Playboys?
The original Playboys were John West on keyboards, Dave Costell on lead guitar, Dave Walker on rhythm guitar, and Al Ramsey on bass guitar.
Okay,
and on drums.
There's been some changes in membership over the years, right?
Yes, I got drafted in 66, so when I went into the service, the original Playboys had to go find other jobs. And when I got out of the service, I tried to reform them, but they were already well established into what they were doing with other musical groups. So all through the years, it's been different sets of Playboys.
They say you're only as good as your last hit record. Your last hit record was This Diamond Ring. You had to have a follow-up. The name of the follow-up was Count Me In.
Right.
And that did quite well for itself.
Yes.
Got to number two on the chart.
Went to number two, yeah.
Any interesting story about that particular song?
Well, yeah, we were getting very excited and thrilled to death that Diamond Ring was so big and everything, and Snuffy Garrett told us, well, you better calm down, guys, you know. There's been an awful lot of one-hit artists in the world, and you just got to calm down and concentrate hard on getting number two. We got to get number two, the follow-up. If we can do that, then we might be on our way. So a guy named Glenn D. Harden wrote Count Me In and just submitted it into Snuffy, and he listened to Glenn D. play it on the piano, and Snuffy said, yeah, I believe that's it. Let's go record it. So we recorded it, and Snuffy said, yeah, that's the one.
Literally, it was number two. It got to number two.
Right.
We're going to listen to it right now. Gary Lewis and the Playboys, the follow-up to This Diamond Ring, Count Me In.
Yeah.
Count Me In. We're going to move on to Save Your Heart for Me. And what many people probably don't realize about this song was that it was first recorded by Brian Hyland back
That's
in
right.
1963. Do you remember Brian's version of the song?
Yes, I do. And Brian and I are pretty good friends. And we talk about this all the time. Like, he was fairly big at the time, and he could never figure out why that song would not go big for him. And then when I recorded it, it went huge for me. Neither of us really can come up with an answer. He did a great version of it, you know?
Was the A-side of a single for him?
Yeah. He said it was actually released as a single, but just went nowhere at all. Usually I would think, well, I was coming off of This Diamond Ring and Count Me In, so maybe that's the reason it went big for me. But Brian, he had hits.
Yes, he did.
You know, he had Sealed with a Kiss and Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny.
Right before that, yeah.
Bikini.
Yes.
And everything, so why shouldn't it go for him, you know?
One never knows.
Never knows. That's the thing. Timing. It all has to do with timing, you know?
And a certain amount of luck.
Sure.
Walk along the lake with someone new. Have yourself a summer fling or two. But remember, I'm in love with you, and save your heart for me. When the summer moon is on the rise, and you're dancing under starlit skies, please don't let the stars get in your eyes. Just save your heart for me. When you're all alone, far away from home, someone's gonna flirt with you. I won't think it's wrong if you play along. Just don't fall for someone new. When the autumn winds begin to blow and the summertime is long ago, you'll be in my arms again.
Gary, that record actually got to number two on the chart, as did Count Me In. And if
I was on a roll.
You sure were. You were like a sandwich. Before we get to the next record, Everybody Loves a Clown, your dad is one of the most famous comedians of all time. And I want to know, how did he feel about you having a singing career? Did he encourage you to have a singing career? Was it his idea? Was it your idea?
No, it was my idea to get a band together right when I first heard the Beatles. I mean, I loved them instantly. So that was the idea, to form a band from classmates at the college I was going to. And I formed up the band, and I asked my mom, "Mom, when Dad's out of town, can we rehearse here at the house?" Mm-hmm. And she said, "Yes. But don't tell your father anything about anything yet. I'm going to buy you these amps and whatever you need, new drums, cymbals, I'll buy everything for you, and I'll take care of all that. But you can't tell your father anything, because if this venture fails, I got to come up with an excuse of where this money went."
Right.
You know, so my dad didn't know that I had a band until we had already recorded This Diamond Ring, and it was starting to climb the charts. Mm-hmm. So now my mom says, "Okay, now you can tell him." So I told him, I brought the news to him down to Paramount Studios. He was shooting a movie at the time, and I walked onto the set, and I told him, "I got a band, I got a single that's climbing the charts right now." And he was thrilled. He was very excited about it. He says, "You know, whatever you want to do in life, that's fine with me, as long as you give it 100%. But just do me one favor. Don't ever grow your hair like those damn Beatles."
Ha, 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 ha.
That's exactly what he said.
Well, Gary, I'm glad he approved. I mean, look, he could have said, hey, I'm not in favor of this. I want you to go and unrecord that song.
Oh, yeah,
think
right.
about it. And then that was impossible.
No, he was great right from the beginning.
He had his own huge hit called Rockabye Your Baby with a Dixie
melody.
Yeah, but
back then it was on a cylinder.
Yes, that's true. Oh, boy. You know, your dad's going to hear the show, by the way, at some point. So
yeah, I hope he does.
Okay. We're going to move to Everybody Loves a Clown. Anything interesting about this particular song?
Yeah, it's very interesting because Everybody Loves a Clown was the first tune that I wrote with Leon Russell. It actually wasn't ever supposed to be released as a single because when I started writing it, I was just going to write a couple of lines and, you know, record it and just give it to my dad on his birthday in 1965. But then as the tune started to evolve, started sounding like it could be a hit to me, you know, so I ended up enlisting Leon Russell for some help on words, and so I ended up keeping the tune, you know, and I gave my dad a bowling ball or something, I don't know. That's the story of that tune.
Got to number four on the chart. Now, at that point, you had had four top 10 hits in a row. In fact,
four top five. Yes,
well,
sir.
Actually, you were rolling even more than you knew. It was four top five hits. Four top four hits.
Yeah.
Before we get to the next single, we're going to play a song called Time Stands Still. This was from one of your albums.
Yes, and that was also never supposed to be released on anything. That was also a song that we started doing very straight, you know, singing just like I do the first verse, very straight.
Yes.
And Snuffy Garrett, you know, got on the talk back from the booth and said, you know, this song is really nothing. I mean, can you do anything to spice this thing up? So I said, well, all right, I'll try something. So on the second half of the tune, I broke into an imitation of my dad's very high, goofy voice. And they loved it. They said, okay, great, that's cool.
Did your dad like it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and as a matter of fact, a lot of fans across the country, they request that. And I say, well, I can't do that. My dad's not with me. You know, and they believe it. They think I actually had my dad come in and do that part.
But it's really Gary.
Yeah, I did it.
Still
guess it always will. Since I don't have you by my side. Of you, a love I thought was true, now it's gone.
Yeah, I'm talking about the old hands on the clock. When you're tired of all this rolling rock, I'll still be thinking of you, and I'll still sing this song. But just remember, through the years, I'll always love you. As I sing.
Time stands still. I guess it always will. Since I don't have you by my side. Memories of you, a love I thought was true, now it's gone.
Time stands still.
Yes, very unique tune, kind of ink spottish.
Ink spottish, yes. The thing about the ink spots, by the way, is that all of their recordings began exactly the same way. Boom, ba, boom, ba, boom, ba, boom, boom,
yeah.
Boom. You take all 100 of their recordings. Boom, ba, boom, ba, boom,
boom. I know.
Boom.
And that high singing.
And they were all. And the amazing thing is, they were all hits. Speaking of hits, She's Just My Style.
They were going for a Beach Boys type sound.
Yes.
They were huge at the time. And Snuffy Garrett said, let's write a Beach Boy type tune and get all these different harmonies in there, and we'll get a real low bass voice on this one part. You know, Snuffy, he had that vision of what he wanted the song to sound like before we even started writing the thing. You know, he was great for that. He was just great for that. And that's exactly what we did. We came up with a tune that sounded kind of like the Beach Boys with all the different high harmonies and stuff. And the low bass voice going, don't you know, geez. No, and it was great.
Yeah.
It worked.
I know that listening to the recording, I remember some disc jockey speculated that the Beach Boys might have actually been on that recording, but that was not the case.
No. We had to bring in studio singers because being a young band, you know, I mean, the original Playboys, they didn't have what it took to sing that good, man, that clear. They just didn't have the experience. I mean, I didn't either, you know. I mean, I sang leads, but I didn't sing any harmonies except on Diamond Ring. I sang the harmony to myself.
Here's Gary Lewis and the Beach Playboys with She's Just My Style.
I would say what's on my mind, but the words are
That was She's Just My Style.
Yeah.
Gary Lewis and the Playboys, in the Beach Boys style, by the way. And we're going to move to Sure Gonna Miss Her. This was a little bit of a change of pace. It was kind of a ballad type
yes,
of song.
It was. We didn't have any plans on writing the next tune. Snuffy said, I'm going to go back to my pile of demos. You know, so many people submit songs into the record company, you know. So Snuffy said, he's got a bunch of them that he just wants me to sit down with him and listen to all these different demos. And he came up with this one, a writer named Bobby Russell from Nashville, Tennessee.
Right.
And he liked it. It was a very, very simple tune. Not much to it except a very busy flamenco guitar in there that worked so good. That also went top 10.
You're going to miss her, Gary Lewis and the Playboys, and we should mention that Bobby Russell, who wrote that song, also wrote Honey for Bobby
yep.
Goldsboro.
Right.
Going to move to Greengrass right now, and Greengrass became your 7th top 10 hit in a row, and
right.
I believe you were the only artist during the 1960s to have your first 7 releases each reach the top 10 on Billboard magazine.
Well, that's what Casey Kasem told me.
And I used to work for Casey, so if Casey said it, it's true.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I believe it. And, you know, Green Grass came as a result of finding Sure Gonna Miss Her, because Snuffy said, well, Sure Gonna Miss Her went so well, you know, with a writer from Nashville. He said, let's go back to Nashville and try to find another one. So we came up with a tune called Green Grass. It was written by Roger Greenaway and Roger Cook. I don't know what else they've done, but they wrote Greengrass, and that's good enough for me, and that worked too, 7th top 10 in a row.
Yeah, isn't it appropriate that Greenaway wrote Greengrass?
Yeah, I have thought of that before.
If it was Bluegrass, he would have been Roger Blueaway.
Springtime, golden sunshine.
I'm Ronnie Allen, pleased to be talking with Gary Lewis. All of these interview shows are archived on a website called Jersey Girls Sing. The address is www.jerseygirlssing.com. That's J-E-R-S-E-Y-G-I-R-L-S-S-I-N-G. That's one word, jerseygirlssing.com. And when you get there, when the home page comes up, just click on Ronnie's radio page at the very bottom, and then you could pick whatever show you'd like to listen to. Gary, we're moving right along like a well-oiled violin. Speaking of which, do you have any idea what the next song is when I say well-oiled violin?
Probably My Heart's Symphony.
Yes, yes. What can we say about My Heart's Symphony?
Well, My Heart's Symphony was also written by Glenn D. Hardin, the guy who wrote Count Me In for us.
Right.
And Snuffy went back to him and said, well, you got anything left? You got any other tunes that you might want to play for us, see what we think? And he sat down at the piano and he played My Heart's Symphony. And what I found very interesting about that tune, actually both tunes that he wrote, Count Me In and My Heart's Symphony, is that both of those songs only had verses. There were no bridges to them.
Did you ever notice that? No, but the next time I listen to it, I will definitely pay attention.
Yeah, that's the way Glenn D. Hardin wrote. He wrote all verses. There's no bridges in those songs.
Well, if you
doesn't mean anything. I mean, it's just kind of an interesting thing.
Let's listen to it right now. A song that has kind of a different sound for the reason that you mentioned, that it's all verses. It worked pretty well. This is Gary Lewis and the Playboys once again, and My Heart's Symphony. Gary Lewis and the Playboys, My Heart's Symphony, and time is sure flying, and we're moving right along. This is like a This Is Your Life right now in one hour.
I like it.
In 1 hour. Well, you had a wonderful musical life. You had a musical life that most people would only dream of. I mean, it was just incredible to have all these hits.
I know, and I'm grateful as hell for it.
You never in your wildest dreams when you were starting out honestly believed that you were going to have this kind of success, did you?
No, not at all. I just wanted to make a little extra money for school and books and beer, and I just wanted to find chicks, that's all.
Okay, and the beer and the chicks were the most important thing,
beer
I bet.
Beer and the chicks, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We have time for three more recordings right now. We have one that I'm going to call the Mona Lisa song.
Mona Lisa song?
You don't have to paint me a picture.
Oh, well, why is that the Mona Lisa song?
Well, paint and picture and paint.
Paint me a picture.
This is the way I associate things.
Well, you know what Paint Me a Picture reminds me of? If you listen to it, every time I play it, it reminds me of a German beer drinking song. You know, can't you just picture the tubas going bum 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 bum? It sounds like you should be drinking beer in Germany.
Was that your reaction the first time you heard the song?
Yes, it was. And Snuffy and I, on various singles, we disagreed on a lot of stuff. But he told me, remember you said you were going to put everything in my hands? Yes. You were going to let me have control of everything? Yes. And so that's exactly what I did. And, I mean, it didn't go to top 10, but it was still a hit.
When you have thought about this in the past, you thought about the German beer drinking song.
It still reminds me of that. And well, I'm not saying that's bad.
No, it's not bad.
I'm saying that that's what the tune reminded me of.
But it also is going to remind you from now on of a silly disc jockey who said it's the Mona Lisa song.
Yeah, it will.
Let's listen to it right now. You don't have to paint me a picture. This is Gary Lewis and the Playboys.
You don't have to paint me a picture. Very plain to see that you don't love me. No, you never loved me at all. You've been out with other fellas. You think that I don't know. Well, you don't have to pin a rose on me, 'cause I knew it long ago. I have tried to make excuses for the things you do. I've tried to be fair in every way.
That's called You Don't Have to Paint Me a Picture, subtitled the German Beer Drinking Song.
Yeah, the Mona Lisa song.
The Mona Lisa song. This is Ronnie Allen talking to Gary Lewis, and we're going to have just two more recordings left. And I remember you appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show prior to you being drafted.
Correct.
It was almost like the scene out of Bye Bye Birdie where Conrad Birdie appears on a TV show and gets drafted. I mean, but this was...
Well,
like
that's exactly what it was, because in the summer of 1966 in Kansas City at the Starlight Theater, I played Conrad Birdie for a week. It was a beautiful big amphitheater. It was at a place called Swope Park It was the Starlight Theater in Kansas City. And since I got drafted and going into the Army, Ed Sullivan figured, hey, well, let's do that whole same thing again with the Bye Bye Birdie, but we'll just have a sign that says Bye Bye Gary, and we'll have a chick come up and give him a final kiss goodbye. And we did the whole deal, that whole thing.
Well, it was kind of a bittersweet thing for you, I guess. Appearing on Ed Sullivan is always a nice thing.
Yeah, it really was kind of a drag having to go in, but, you know, that's the way it goes.
What record did you do on that particular show? Do you remember?
No, you know, I don't. But I know I sang at least one verse of that song, Oh, One Last Kiss. Oh, give me one last kiss.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go.
You know, that tune. But I don't know which one of the hits I did.
Life imitating art.
Yeah.
This was real life for you. Gary, we got two more songs to go, and this next to last one is called Where Will the Words Come From?
Yeah, that was a good one. Glenn D. Hardin wrote that also, and that's the first song that he wrote where there was a bridge. But I did like that song, and people don't remember that one.
Right.
For some reason, nobody ever requests that or says, well, how come you didn't do that one? For some reason, it's one of those mystery songs. It still was a hit, but people just don't remember that song.
Well, we're going to try to remind them right now.
Okay, good.
This is Gary Lewis and the Playboys, and Where Will the Words Come From? Gary, before we play the last recording, I want to just say thank you so very much for doing this show with us and sharing all of the stories of these recordings with all your fans in the United States and also throughout the world.
Well, thanks for having me on your show. I enjoyed it.
Are you still touring, by the way?
Absolutely. We're still on the road as much as I want, actually, and I love doing it. Never gets old to me.
You were recently on the Muscular Dystrophy Telethon.
Yes, I was.
With your dad.
And it's about the 10th or 11th straight year we've done it.
Right.
And just the last 4 or 5 years, my dad has put us on while people are still awake.
what a guy. You know.
So that's good, you know.
The first few years, nobody saw you.
The first couple of years, we were on like at 5 in the morning.
Your appearance was a big secret the first few years.
It was. So I just asked him, you know, please put us on when somebody's still awake, all right?
The last song we're going to play right now is called Girls in Love, and when I hear this song, the impression that I get is right in the middle of the song, there was a power failure and everything just stopped. Now, is that what really happened, or was that planned?
It was planned.
Oh, that was planned?
Sure.
Oh, silly me.
We didn't do anything by accident.
Well, tell me the story.
Well, the story of Girls in Love is that was the first tune I recorded on my final leave from the Army. So I was just about to get out of the service, and I was really excited about it. And Snuffy didn't produce that one. He was gone already. Koppelman and Rubin were the producers of the song. And the same guy, Gary Bonner, who wrote Happy Together for the Turtles, wrote almost every song on the Girls in Love album. The album was called New Direction. And that one and the album after that, which was called Listen, which Gary Bonner wrote a lot of those songs, those are my two favorite albums. Those are the most artistically satisfying songs that I've actually ever done, and the public doesn't know anything about them.
Tell me about the false ending in the middle of that, where I said it was a power failure. It really wasn't a power failure, but everything stops and then it...
I don't know how to describe it, but it was just a planned two-bar rest.
Okay. Actually, we could call it a planned pause.
Yeah.
Closing our Gary Lewis special, this is Gary Lewis and the Playboys with Girls in Love. Good night, Gary.
Bye-bye.
Now, here's a couple of bonus tracks. First, here's one by Gary's dad. He happens to be a singer. Among other things, he had a hit record about 8 years before Gary had his first hit record. It's called Rockabye Your Baby with a Dixie Melody. Here's Jerry Lewis.
Rock-a-bye your baby with a Dixie melody. When you croon a tune from the heart of Dixie, just hang my cradle, mammy mine, right on that Mason Dixon line, and swing it from Virginia to Tennessee with all the love that's in ya. Weep no more, my lady, sing that song for me, so soft and low, just as though you had your knees. baby kisses I'll deliver. The minute that you sing the Swanee River, rock-a-bye, you're rock-a-bye, baby, with a Dixie melody. Oh, weep no more, my lady, sing that song for me. So soft and low, just as though you had me on your knee. A million baby kisses I'm gonna deliver. The minute that you sing the Swanee River, rock-a-bye, you're rock-a-bye, baby, with a Dixie melody.
Finally, we have one more hit by Gary Lewis. This one is called Jill.
Jill, between you and me, I can see the gleam in your eye, and I can hardly wait to see you, Jill, just as if you were here. I can hear your voice softly call, and oh no, Jill is here at all. My love is only a dream away. Jill is only a dream all my life. I've done crazy things, gonna find a bird that sings to me. Thinking of me, I'll be thinking of you all my life.